Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us the same time each week, and we count it our privilege to be able to come into your homes and just have this time with you. We'd like to always take a moment and thank those who have taken time to write us. We do count it our privilege to hear from you, and it's such a blessing when we hear from you, and you know, you're telling us that, yes, we're studying our Bible now, and we pray for the radio Bible class, and we appreciate that so very much. We really do, because you are the unseen force behind the power that goes out through the Word of God, not from the pastor, but through the Word of God that's preached. And it is powerful, the Word of God is. So we thank you for that very much. If you have your Bibles, we hope that you do now and are able to follow along, those of you that are able to do so. We're over here to Revelation chapter 20 now as we continue here and finish up with this chapter. As we have previously studied, we're in the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is a judgment for the degrees of punishment in the lake of fire, as the judgment seat of Christ is for the Christians for the amount of rewards received in heaven. And we pick it up here now in verse 12. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You find out a singular. The book of life is singular. But then there's a volume of books. The book of life determines whether you go to heaven or whether you spend eternity in hell. You see, your name was written there from the foundation of the earth. If you die without Jesus Christ, then your name will be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life, according to Psalm 69, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, and so forth. So, if you're listening, your name is already in the Lamb's book of life. But when you die, and if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, your name will be blotted out, and you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. But here we find out those that have brought up the Great White Throne Judgment are all of the lost. They've been in Hades, the word Hades, and translated hell here, and we'll see that here in verse 13. We find out two things give up the dead. When a person dies, death in the Bible only means separation. With physical death, you find out it is the soul and the spirit that separates from the body. We're going to see that in Luke chapter 16 in a moment. But we find out here the sea gives up the dead. Notice in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those that were lost at sea and the wars and so forth, if they have never trusted Jesus Christ, whatever officiate their bodies and officiate those fish, whatever, God's going to put those molecules back and you're going to have a resurrected body. But then, when you died, the body died, but your soul and spirit went on, if you've rejected Christ, into a place called hell, literally in the Greek, Hades. It is not the same place as the lake of fire. From the lake of fire, there is total darkness. In Hades, the temporary abode of the dead, where they go today, it is not total darkness, because in Luke 16, we're going to find out that he viewed Abraham over in paradise, and there was a great gulf separating them. But let's go on down to verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead, and were judged in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now remember, they're already in hell. That is the temporary abode of the dead, Hades in the Greek. Now, they're already there in torment. So the works they're being judged by is before they're cast into the lake of fire, which is their eternal abode. It is to determine the degrees of punishment for all time and eternity. Now notice in verse 14, and death and hell, that's Hades again, were cast into the lake of fire. Now the lake of fire here is where the worm dieth not, in Mark chapter 9, in verse 44, 46, and 48. And you know what? Since this new age and these translators, if you didn't know this, Westcott and Hort, who followed a corrupt and put together a corrupt Greek text, that's where all your modern new versions come from. Do you know that these men did not believe in hell? Westcott and Hort did not believe they're in a living hell, as the Bible teaches. And if you were to go in your NIV, your New International Version, you look up there, if you will, in Mark chapter 9, verse 44, 46, 48, and they've taken those verses out. You know why they've taken them out? Because Westcott and Hort, the two that formed the modernistic Greek text that we have today, disregarded the 5,200 and some manuscripts that agree, and that the King James is translated from. And King James has it in there, but your NIV does not, because those that formed that Greek text, that corrupt Greek text, and all of your new versions are from that. And your American Standard, your New American Standard, even your New King James has followed that. But the NIV especially, the New International Version, the one that's the most popular so-called Bible in the world today, and it is the biggest perversion of a Bible that you can find anywhere. You won't find those verses there. Let me give them to you again, because if you're listening and you doubt that, I'd like for you to go look them up in your NIV, and you won't find them. That is in Mark chapter 9, and verse 44, 46, and 48. So let's go back to our text here in verse 14. Death and hell, that's Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now remember this, two deaths, one's physical and one is spiritual. When you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's physical death, and you're cast into the place called hell. And your soul and spirit separate from your body. The book of James tells us, for as the body without the spirit is dead. So as long as the spirit's in the body is alive. But the body can only die, and when it dies, the soul and spirit, soul is the seat of your emotions, your appetites, and the spirit every human has is the seat of your intelligence. And we're going to see that in Luke chapter 16 here in just a minute, because this man died, he was lost, he's in torment, but he had all the reasoning and intelligence that he had upon the earth. Now, this is the second death. As you've heard so many times, when you're a Christian, you are born twice, but you only die once. Because you don't die the second death and are put into a place of torment, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. But when you have been born once and never had the new birth, never accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you die twice, physically and spiritually. Physically, your soul and spirit separates from the body, and spiritually, you are separated from all time and eternity from the presence of God Himself. Now notice in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And you know what's amazing to me? We was reading this in Deuteronomy. If you have your Bible, go back with me a second to the book of Deuteronomy, and notice back here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verses 9 and 10. It's brazing, you know. We used to have a kid in school. He'd always talk about picking a fight, but when the one he wanted to pick a fight with was there, then he wouldn't say anything. He was scared to death. And you know, it reminds me of the atheists and the agnostic today. And those that, when there's not somebody around to refute them, they have a heyday with students in school, whether it be the biology class, chemistry class, or whatever teacher it might be that denies the Bible. But then you get somebody who knows the Bible and is on their level, and they practically run. But I'd like for you to know, and we have this here in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 and 10. We find out, here's what it says. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Get this now in verse 10. And repayeth them that hate Him to their face. Now you may be a God denier. You may think the Bible is just a funny book or something. When you stand before Almighty God, you're going to be shaking in your boots, and there'll be nobody to help you. You have surely played the fool. The fool has said there is no God, and to destroy them. And He will not be slack to them that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. And when we come to the great white throne judgment here now, there's a reason for that. Because if you go back in your Bibles here to Psalms chapter 104 in verse 35, notice what it says. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. So when the great white throne judgment comes, you're going to find out it's going to do away before God creates new heavens and new earth. He's going to rid this earth and rid this world of any sinners, and those you may have went to church all your life and never accepted Christ, then you'll die in your sins. You don't believe that He is God in human flesh. Christ said you'll likewise die in your sins if you do not believe that I am God. But notice again what it says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Let the sinner be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Well, I want to say this. You're a wicked person if you deny the Bible. You're a wicked person if you try to put your evolutionary trash on some young person and dilute their mind by your perverted thinking. Yes, you're a very wicked person. And God says, your end is going to come. And you will be exterminated, not into extinction now, but you'll be put in a place where you'll never see light again. And again, the distinction we make. Hell, which is Hades here, where it says, and death and hell, that's where the sinner is today, were cast into the lake of fire. Hell you can see, but you're still going to be tormented. the lake of fire, there will be total death, where the worm dieth not, there'll be gnashing of teeth, and there'll be in total darkness. Now, with that in mind now, let's go over here, and we're going to talk a little bit about hell, because it's something the churches just don't want to mention much in their services anymore, because it's not a popular subject. Neither is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this has to do with justification of self. All of this has to do with, I don't need a blood religion. I don't need Jesus. I'm a pretty popular person. Look, the preacher likes me. I'm pretty well liked in town, and I have quite a position here. Hey, everybody wants me to run for the council, and, you know, I'm liked by everybody. How in the world could I ever go to hell? And that's what you got in your mind. Well, what other people think of you are not your judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is. We come over here to Luke chapter 16, and maybe you're thinking that. Well, you're just exactly the same as who Christ was talking about 2,000 years ago. Notice in verse 14 and 15. But the Pharisees also were covetous, and heard all these things, and they derided him. And notice in verse 15, he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for he that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Then he goes on down, and he gives down here a literal account of a man who had died. Two men. One was a poor man and a very sick man. The other was a very rich man that never wanted for anything when he was here upon the earth. Sure, he had his home paid for. He had a pretty good lucrative salary coming in. He had probably lots of money in the bank, could buy anything that he wanted. But one thing he never thought about is, you die just like the sinner. You die just like the beggar. You die just like anyone else does, and nothing you can do to save your life. And we're talking physically now. Notice in verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So he was in pretty bad shape, but he was a believer. The beggar died first, and it came to pass in verse 22 that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now the rich man, he wasn't carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is another place called paradise. And it's the place where the Lord went. And he said to the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see. Now the word Hades here, the same word as translated hell over in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14 is the Greek word Hades. And one, it had two compartments. It had one paradise, and it had another that was torment, you see. So Christ went to the paradise side because he told the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But the lost went to the torment side. Here was the man that was lost. Notice in verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Hell is the Greek word Hades, same word, same Greek word, as in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation in verse 14. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes. Now, isn't it an amazing thing? He died, but yet he has some spiritual eyes, a spiritual body. Being in torment, that spiritual body could suffer torment. And he's seen Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, he could talk. He still had his vocal cords. You've got to remember, the spiritual body has all the attributes of the physical body, and all of those molecules of that physical body are going to be brought back into a resurrected body which will never die. And that lost man here at the great white throne judgment, that's all that's here, is the lost. Saved have already been to heaven. Saved have already been through the judgment seat of Christ and got their rewards. Now we're dealing with the lost. The Psalms 104 verse 35 said we're going to rid the earth of all of the wicked people. Now you go to church, as we've said, every Sunday, been baptized so many times, the frogs know your social security number, and be right here in hell at the great white throne judgment. Have you been born again? Water baptism does not make you born again. It is the Word of God, born of the Word of God, you see. And notice in verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, that's interesting, because here again, he had feeling. He's tormented. He had a tongue. He had eyes. He had a brain, because he was reasoning. And remember this, the soul and the spirit which departs at death and either goes to hell or goes to heaven is the same, has the same attributes. The soul is the seat of your emotions and your appetites. The spirit is the seat of your intelligence. And the heart is the seat of your conscience. Now, let's go on here. Abraham said unto him, son, don't you remember in your lifetime you received all the good things? You didn't care about the Lord. and likewise Lazarus, the evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented. Now, you probably had a pretty good position in town. You probably had a pretty good job, pretty good bank account. Everybody looked up to you. You were some kind of a businessman, and you were successful in life, whether a businessman, private enterprise, entrepreneur, whoever it might be, but you were successful and people looked up to you. But now you're tormented because you had everything, but you wasn't interested in Jesus Christ. You had the admiration of men, you justified yourself, and you'd convinced yourself by satanic delusion that because everybody liked me, God would not send me to hell. Well, you deceived yourself because that is not true, and here you are in hell. And we go on down here, and we find out here in verse 26, Abraham said, besides this, between us there is fixed a great gulf, so that you can't come over here and we can't go over there. Then in verse 27, he knew that, and the lost man said, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, send Lazarus. I've got five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now he's interested in his brethren. He should have been while he was alive, shouldn't he? Can't do anything about it now, but we're going to see the answer here that Abraham gives. He says, I got five brothers. Please don't send them to this place down here. Go back and tell them. Testify unto them. Tell them. Witness to them. And notice in verse 29 what Abraham says. He said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, and let him hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent or change their mind. And you know what? That isn't true. Because you know what? We did have one raised from the dead, and that was Jesus Christ. And we had many that he raised from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus. We had the apostles and them that had the power to raise the dead, heal the sick. And these were signs. These are not signs today because we have the written word of God completed. But prior to that, they were signs that were given to the nation of Israel to show that these were the apostles of Jesus Christ and through his power given unto them. Therefore, this was the long-promised Messiah, and he's now standing in your midst, Israel. But they rejected him. But he says, no, he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. And he goes on to tell them here, they have the prophets. They have the Bible, you see. And they won't take it. And it's just like you today. You might be waiting on some miracle or that. It's not going to come. But you know what? You have the Bible. You are without excuse. You have the completed Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't matter what people think about you. At all, what it is that's not going to slide you into heaven because of you're looked upon by the community, or somebody likes you, the best liked person in town, or this or that. That doesn't have anything to do with it whatsoever. You have self-deceived yourself. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And he goes on here, and we're going to stop here for just a second here and give you an invitation, because these messages mean nothing if the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you. Look, popularity can take you right straight to hell. In fact, it's through pride and being popular that dims the vision and the view that does not take me to heaven. Satan would like for you to believe that. This man here was deceived. And yet, I want to bring this out because this is something that one cult religion comes out and says, well, this is only a parable here. It's not a true account. Let me just give a little lesson in theology here, if I may do that. If you're listening, and I'd mark this down because one main cult religion who doesn't believe in hell tries to do away with this. And they say, well, it's a parable. Well, the word, and there are many parables in the Bible, and the word parable comes from the Greek paraboa, lay alongside of for an illustration. The actual event is worse than the parable that is trying to illustrate because the parable is only illustrating how awful the real truth is. But you'll find, if you study the Bible theology, you'll find out that no parable, you can search Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all the way through for every parable ever written in the New Testament. You can never find a parable now that uses a proper name. Wherever a proper name is used, it is not a parable, but a literal account that Jesus Christ is giving you and I that literally existed then as it still exists today. No, it's not a parable. No parable ever uses a proper name. You need to remember that when you get this. These cult religions come with their salesmen around to your door, knocking on the door and saying this or that. And ask them, do you believe in hell? You see. And then remember this, when you go to Luke chapter 16 here, no parable ever uses a proper name. Now, here this man in Luke 16, now he's been in there for some 2,000 years now. When it comes to the great white throne judgment here, at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ here, he'll be in there for another 1,000 years. Then he's going to be brought up. He's going to be brought up out of hell or Hades. Then he's going to be adjudged according to his works. And then he's going to be cast in to the lake of fire where there is total darkness. Here he can see in the temporary abode, but when he hears the Lord in devastating words, "Depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels," then you're going to find out that is total darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a literal hell, and you just don't hear it talked about much in your modernistic churches today because it's going to scare people, and we praise God for that. I hope it scares you so much because it's reality that you'll run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards, in his great sermon that he preached, said he had people hanging onto the chairs that there was such convicting power, sinners in the hands of an angry God, was that great sermon that Jonathan Edwards preached. That he had people hanging onto the chairs, felt as though they were about ready to slip into hell right then listening to him because the power of that message was so great. Well, I pray this. I hope the power of the Word of God touches your heart and that you'll get in a good Bible teaching church where you hear the subject of hell taught on, and you hear the conviction, yes, there is a hell. This isn't a playground down here. This is a battleground, and a battleground between Satan trying to get your soul into hell and Christ trying to save your soul by getting you to put your trust in him that he died on that cross to pay for your sins. You know, it reminds me of Acts chapter 3 and verses 2 and 11. It says this, "And a certain man, lame from his birth, was carried, whom," get this now, and I circle this in my Bible, they laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, and the lame man was healed. The lame man who was miraculously cured through the power of Christ in chapter 3, verse 16, was in the exact spot where he could catch the attention of Peter and John, only because of the gracious help of his faithful friends. The unnamed they, here they are, they, who bore him to the place of healing were very important actors in the drama, and yet they are known only to God. Often evangelists and preachers take all the credit to themselves when some poor sinner is healed of the disease of sin that's spiritually now, and born in sin, living in sin, and are saved by the saving power of the Lord Jesus, and then forgetting the many others who have lent a helping hand in the process. Frequently in the Bible we read, "And they brought him to Jesus." Those involved are not specifically mentioned, but their deeds and names are recorded indelibly in God's blessed book of remembrance. All will share in the rewards reserved for those who help along the work of Christ. I remember after I was saved and led to Christ, that a lady came up to me in church and she said, "Max Childs, I'm so happy that you're saved. You trusted Jesus." She said, "For the last few years, I've been praying for you. Ever since I've known you, you've been on the basketball team and so forth." And there she said, "I've been praying that God touch your heart and you'd be saved." A man by the name of George Matheson, a blind man, given us a lovely word on this subject, and he exclaims, and I quote, "Son of man, gate of all beautiful temples, help me to remember those who carried me to thee. They sank often beneath their burdens and made no sign. They passed and left no monument. But they opened for me the gate called Beautiful, and I have entered in. Let me be thankful for those voices, now long silent, who led me on, and let me praise thee for the speechless prayers and the lovely virgils of hidden lives and influences that beckoned me onward to thee and led me to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus," unquote. If you're saved today, it is due no doubt to the scores who have prayed for you, the parents who have sought to turn your faith to the Lord, and the uncounted testimonies that have come to you from many sources. How thankful we should be for those unnamed helpers who throughout the years have cared for your soul. God remembers each one and will reward them richly when he comes to make up his jewels. Now as we tread the narrow way that leadeth upward through the night, Lord, may we also sweetly aid those weary souls who need thy light. A good thought to remember is that God often moves mountains by having his many obscure but faithful helpers carry away a few pebbles. I hope if you're listening that you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion will always substitute something for salvation instead of faith in Christ. It'll either be good works, it'll either be be by church membership. It'll either be by water baptism, which seems to be one of the main things projected. If you're water baptized, you're all right, friend. No, that's a lie out of hell. Water baptism doesn't do anything for the sinner to take them to heaven. Never has, never will. Water baptism is only for the saved after they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I hope if you're listening that you'll trust Christ, have the peace and the promise, knowing that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. In closing, we'd like to invite you to our Sunday morning church service. Begins at 10 o'clock until 11. Be a privilege to have you come. Our Sunday evening service from 7:30 till 8. And then our youth group, if you have a teenager that would like to come, we'd love to have them every Thursday night from 7 o'clock till 9. We hope you'll take time to write us, and be a privilege to hear from you. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.